Okay, thank you, and thank you for continue here. I know that is late. But no, my intention is to present some differences between public health and Latin American social medicine to facilitate the understanding of the contribution of the Latin American social medicine to the debates in US in about health equity. I want to start where I move. No, we need, yeah, here. Bueno, the origin of the public health and the Latin American social medicine determine the definition of their categories, the theoretical and methodological approaches that each adopted and the analytical models used. For public health arose as a specialty of the scientific medicine in the beginning of the 20th century, concerned about the health problem of the population, and was developed and consolidated in the context of the war crisis in 1929. Latin American social medicine arose as an important presence in the intellectual debate as consequence of the crisis of the public health and scientific medicine at the end of the 1960s, has roots in the demands of the Latin American social and political movements. I will pass over this. Population for public health is a sum of individuals, and individuals present specific characteristics that allows their classification in groups, for example, sex, age, education. Latin American social medicine defines population as a collective divided into economic, cultural, and social group in a specific society. The main categories are social class, gender, work process, production, and reproduction. For public health, health is a state, not a, is an state, not a, that is biological, natural, and individual. The social context is either not considered or minimized. For Latin American social medicine, health is a biological process that takes specific historical and social forms. It's an expression of social processes, even at the individual level. The context is needed to understand health illness process. Public health adopts a positivist epistemology, adopts methodological approaches for the natural science, and isolates the health problem from the social totality. Latin American social medicine adopts a dialectical historical epistemology, construct new methodological approaches, and analyze the health illness process within the social totality. The assumption for the Latin American social medicine are that health illness process has a specificity and unity between the social and the biological. The human biological process acquire specific historic forms that are expressed in the health illness process at a specific moment and in a specific society. Health illness process has, at the same time, historical and biological character. I will use an example to try to show the differences in how the Latin American social medicine and the public health analyze problems. I will use the problem of child obesity in New Mexico. This is a diagram that is normally used for the people in public health, and the name is socio-ecological framework, and I don't know if this is working. And the socio-ecological framework assumes that we need to analyze different levels of complexity for a problem, but moving from the individual level to the social one. Entonces, in doing that, when they analyze, for example, child obesity, they are able to define at this level that the child obesity is a problem as a group of individuals, for example, a student in public school between 5 and 11 years old, that present X percentage of child obesity prevalence. Also, it is possible to establish sex and age, ethnicity, different kinds of biological characteristics. The next level of the analysis is the individual behavior. They normally try to explain eating patterns and lack of physical activity and other lifestyle issues. Adding a new layer, they analyze what happened at community and family and community levels, such as type of families, single parents, extended families, neighborhood resources, existence of grocery, to show fresh food, recreational spaces, school programs, etc. Researchers also could analyze household income, parent education, culture, and type of shops. Finally, under this approach, some researchers moved to analyze the broad context, and especially now, a lot of them are working at analyzing policy levels. Using multi-method and multi-level methods analysis, researchers are able to obtain a good description of a symptom, child obesity. And they could be able to obtain a constellation of risk factors that could be analyzed using sophisticated quantitative programs, which could explain certain patterns of probability. Also, researchers can use sophisticated qualitative programs that could add in-depth explanation about some specific aspect. At intervention level, these research findings are useful for developing programs focused, for example, on weight loss and wellness by promoting changes at individual and family behaviors. Developing school programs, passing some bills to change school meal programs, ban soda machines, etc. The idea that prevails is that by educating people about the problem, developing some intervention at micro or meso levels, or changing specific policies, the problem will be partially or totally resolved. But this analytical model doesn't allow to understand the root of the problem. It permits to see the tip of the iceberg. If the interventions are successful, they could eliminate this emerging part of the iceberg. But new parts will appear in the surface because the interventions developed following the analytical model were not touching the structural determinants of health inequities. For this reason, most of the interventions informed with this kind of research show no evidence of effectiveness for a problem like child obesity. And more important, from the Latin American social medicine perspective, they are masking other serious health problems. For the Latin American social medicine perspective of the problem, the problem is different. The problem is not child obesity. It is nutrition analyzed by specific groups, such as Hispanic immigrant children in New Mexico, and food access. After defining this specific social group, we need to understand other characteristics, such as if the group is composed by recent immigrants, and if it is the case, from what countries and areas in these countries they came from. It permits us to analyze the nutritional situation in the country of origin, and in doing it, we can realize that most of these children are coming from countries with high prevalence of chronic malnutrition. After this analysis, we could propose a thesis, for example, that when these children arrive in the US, they gain weight eating high caloric, poor nutritional food, because the income of their families and the neighborhoods in which they live just allow access to this kind of food. I repeat, applying the Latin American social medicine perspective, we don't have just a weight problem among Hispanic immigrant children. We have a nutritional problem, and we need to move to understand food access barriers for this social group, not to propose interventions at individual family or community levels focused on weight loss. To understand the problem according to the Latin American social medicine perspective, we need to contextualize the specific situation of this social group by analyzing the wide social context. We need to understand what is the economic model in the country which they are immigrant. In this case, we need to understand the free market ideology and the idea that the consumer sovereignty that is also dominant in the United States. The economic interests involved that are, related between these levels, the economic interests involved in and the policies related to the food and the weight loss industries and the media, migration policies, welfare policies, and the consequent economic, social, and political insertion of this specific group in New Mexico at production and reproduction level. What kind of jobs they can access, what kind of wage and benefit, and what kind of social groups they are inserted, what kind of family models, what is the role of the women, the children, the father, and what is the role of these immigrant families in the bigger society. Also, what kind of access they have to health and to education levels. With this, we can understand what are the living condition, the working and living condition of this specific group of people, and what are the health and education outcomes of the analyzed group. Of course, there are other social, cultural, and economic, internal and external dynamics generated for this specific social group that are part of the problem and it is necessary to incorporate into the analysis. Through this analytical framework, the weight problem called the attention as a symptom of something more complex for which we need to develop a research process involving different social actors, including, if possible, the affected group. The kind of research process that we try to develop is a process in which collectively we define a health problem of the specific social group, analyze the broad social, economic, political, and ideological context, study the impact of the broad context on the specific social group, collecting quantitative and qualitative data from primary and secondary resources. We are triangulating the data collected and analyze and propose changes. Entonces, the researcher practice is to integrate teams by academic researchers and members of the social groups and organizations, create collective intervention at local state and national levels, but always having in mind the structural determinants of health inequities and analyze power relations to find the best way to produce changes. We don't think that just pushing for change a bill at the legislature level will end the problems. We consider that this is much more complex than pass a bill. The result of the research process will show the need for policy changes that on the surface don't appear to be directly related to the initial problem, child obesity. For example, the focus on policy change could be eliminate agricultural subsidies, regulate food and weight loss industries, change federal meal programs for school and families, generate tax incentives for grocery shops, selling fresh food in poor neighborhoods, establish food subsidies, provide universal access for meal programs at the school level, and so forth. Bueno, this is my presentation. I'm sorry that perhaps we don't have time to discuss. Thank you very much.